return on costs, and we'll be looking at Genesis or chapter 8. All the way to chapter 9, verse 17. This is a story after the flood. This is right after the judgment. The Lord stepped out of the water and, you know, stepped into the black land. And the earth, which the Lord commanded Noah to build, to serve its purpose. So right now, it's a new beginning for Noah and his family. Well, before proceeding, first of all, I'd like to thank the leadership of the church. It's an opportunity to share God's word with people this morning. And before proceeding, let us say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. For it's a privilege and an honor to be at your feet this morning to learn about you, about what you've done, about the sacrifices of faith, not known. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that is in and so included. After hearing the man about your word, I pray that you open our eyes, our ears, and our heart, and as your word come forth, let each and every one of us be blessed. And let them be the name of the Lord and glorified in our midst this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen. Before proceeding, next slide, please. I'd like to provide what I call a quick synopsis to share our study in the book of Genesis, just to see where we are. So we look at the beginning itself. We talk about creation. That's in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We talk about how long it took God to create the entire universe, the stars, the moon, the people in it. And also, after that, we also went to Genesis, chapter 2. We talk about the first family that was created, talking about Adam and Eve. And also, chapter 3, we looked at also the fall of man and the consequence that came with the creation of man. God gave Adam and Eve a set of instructions, but they disobeyed. They were fooled by Satan, and they came with a couple of consequences. Then Genesis chapter 4, we also look at Adam as the first family we had. And chapter 5, that was Adam, the Genesis from Adam to Noah. And this was before the flood came. And Genesis chapter 6, chapter 8, last week, we talked about God's judgment upon the whole earth and the deliverance that God and the provision that God made for Noah and his family. And today, we'll look at from Genesis chapter 8 to chapter 9. Talks about God's covenant with Noah. Next slide, please. I call this what I call a new beginning because it paints a picture or story of what happened after the judgment of God came upon the earth. So now it's a new beginning from the whole. Initially, God created the heavens and the earth and with people in them. But after a series of actions, God had to bring judgment upon the earth. And after that judgment, but God also made provision for certain families to be exempted from the consequences of their actions because the scripture talked about Noah and his family, they obeyed the Lord. And as a result of that, God exempted them from the judgment that came upon the earth. So I call this what I call a new beginning going forward. From Genesis chapter 8 to chapter 9, I try to look at this from three perspectives. The first one talks about Noah's worship and what was God's response to Noah's worship. Then the second part, God's renewed commission to humanity going forward. And the third part, I break that down. That is from Genesis chapter 9, 8 to 17, the everlasting covenant and the sign of the rainbow. Next slide, please. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, verse 22. It says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, and sacrificed burnt offerings unto the Lord." This verse of the Bible is not about just a historical event. Rather, it's a God. It reveals God's heart towards humanity. God's patience, his love, and his justice, and also his unchanging faithfulness. As we study this text, we will see how it connects to the broader picture and the concept of sacrifice, just from the led me across Bristol and all the way to Jesus and the risen Lord. Jesus also had to come to the earth and also be as a sacrifice. What was Noah's heart, first heart, after I stepped out of the dry land? It was not to complain. It was not to mourn. It was not to be judgmental. I know it's easier said after navigating through challenges of life. The first reaction that wants to come out of the mouth is to complain and to ask the question, God, why? Why do I have to go through this situation? Why do I have to go through these circumstances? Lord, why is life unfair to me? But Noah did something after the entire world had its judgment. Noah's first reaction to death was to offer what I call an altar of praise unto the Lord. Rather than complain, Noah raised an altar of praise unto the Lord. He built an altar of offering unto the Lord to be appreciative of what God did for him, because he realized him surviving the flood was not because he did anything right, was not because of his own skill. Even though God gave him the commandment to build an ark unto him, but it was still a result of God's mercy and God's goodness. I know you might be saying, Peter, you don't know what I'm going through in life, but I challenge each and every one of us this morning. No matter what life throws at us, we should raise an altar of thanksgiving, an altar of praise unto the Lord. I know it's easier said than done, but that's God's expectation unto us. You might be wondering, why am I going through this challenge? Am I doing anything wrong? Maybe, or maybe not. But the consequences of life is as a result of the corruption that happened, as a result of Adam and Eve sinning. They got deceived by Satan, and as a result of that, the world that we live in today is corrupted. But I challenge each and every one of us, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance we go through, raise an altar of sacrifice unto the Lord. What does an altar of sacrifice mean, or what does it imply when we do that? It shows we trust in God. It shows we believe in His faithfulness. It shows we trust Him to be there with us and to help us navigate the situation or the circumstances we are going through in life. Next slide, please. How can Noah raise an altar of sacrifice? Genesis chapter 28, verse 21 says, it says, and the Lord smelled an aroma that was pleasing and said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. What does altar of praise or altar of sacrifice or altar of thanksgiving do? It shows God that you trust him. And this is God's reaction every time that we raise an altar of thanksgiving, an altar of praise unto the Lord, even though the circumstances we're going through or everything we're going through in that instance doesn't look like we're about to give him praise, it shows God that you trust him. Imagine this. Your son, even though he's going through something that is not pleasing unto him, but he's still telling you, Dad, thank you, because I know you have my back. Dad, thank you, because I know even though what I'm going through doesn't look right, doesn't feel right, but I trust you. That is what Noah did. And how did God respond to Noah? God made a statement. He said, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma of sacrifice. Every time we raise a praise unto the Lord, that is the same reaction that God gets. It's a pleasing aroma unto the Lord. And the Lord moved. The Lord moved on behalf of Noah and he said, this is what the Lord said. He said, I will never again curse the ground because of man. Because of Noah's sacrifice, because of Noah's single heart, the Lord God Almighty changed his mind and uttered a statement which still stands today. It says, I will never again curse the ground because of man. And notice, Jesus, when I say, but did God need the sacrifice? No. This is not about trying to bribe God with our praises or trying to move the hand of God, but it's just a show and an act of faith on our part. Even though they might be strong, but you tell the Lord God Almighty that I trust you. It's not that your praise or anything you're trying to bribe God, but rather you're saying unto the Lord, I trust you, even though the circumstances doesn't feel right, but I trust you. I trust you. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2 says, Christ's sacrifice was a fragrant offering to God, nor foreshadowed the same thing that Christ was going to do, which was to come and also be a sacrifice unto God. Noah was the first person that prescribed, that foresaw that, that despite humanity's sin, despite everything that human did, he still offered the halt of praise and sacrifice unto the Lord. Let me tell a story about David Gregor. In the year 2021, August to be precise, in a town called in Louisiana, hurricane ravaged that city, and then his home was flooded. Everything she had, she lost it all. Everything, her family, they were spoiled. When David was interviewed, she said something. She said, I narrowly escaped with my life. And the only way people in that city could survive, I mean, that town rather could survive, was they had to go to a rubber ground. She lost everything. A home she built for over 30 years, our children, everything she had was lost. The only thing they escaped with was just the hope they had. Speaking to the reporters, Debbie said, God blessed us with that we all survived. I can reveal, you know, I can reveal our faith in the Lord God Almighty in that instance was expressed through thanksgiving. She expressed thankfulness for being alive, despite the overwhelming loss of our home and all our possessions. This morning, I just want to encourage us in times of what I call the trials and transitions. Our first response should be worship unto the Lord. Our first response should be thanksgiving unto the Lord for his faithfulness, not to be angry at God. I know you might say, you have no idea what I've been through. But Jesus, even while on earth, John chapter 16, verse 33, he says something. When he told the disciples that he was about to depart, that he was going to the cross, they were all worried, they were scared. But Jesus told them something in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. The life of a deliverer is not guaranteed that it's going to be peaceful. And it's not guaranteed that you're not going to go through trials, temptations, or circumstances that will make you doubt there's even God. But this is the assurance that we have. Jesus, in Jesus' word, he says, in this world that you are in, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. But this is the assurance that we have. He says something. He says, but take heart for how it will come. Every person on earth will go through trials. It is unavoidable. The only circumstance or situation where you cannot go through trial or be pressed on the side is when you're dead. That is the only person that is exempted from trials in this earth. But as believers, this is the assurance that we have in the Lord, that Jesus overcomes. That is the assurance and the guarantee that we have, that even though we might be pressed on both sides, but Jesus is overcome. And it's just temporary. Next slide, please. And then part two of the entire context, I want to talk about God's renewed commission to humanity. I call this a fresh start. Reading from Genesis, it says, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in the number and fill the earth. This might sound familiar, but this was the commandment that God actually gave Adam and Eve when he created them in Genesis chapter 1. When God created man, the first commandment he gave them was this, be fruitful and multiply. God still went back to the same thing as humans, that we should be fruitful and we should multiply. even after destruction or the judgment that God brought up to the earth, He still gave humanity another opportunity. He still blessed them and He told them, be fruitful and multiply. But the terms and the rules of the game changed after this. Before, man never had to be afraid of animals. Even the fear of the animals that God created, they were not afraid of man. But henceforth, after the judgment, everything changed. In the new beginning, it says in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 9, it says, the fear and the dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Previously, man and all creatures, they sort of dwelt in harmony. But after the fall of man, the rules of the engagement changed. Now, the fear and the dread of man fill all that is within man and all that surrounds man. Apart from that also, God also changed our heart to the diet of man. Previously, man depended only on fruits and vegetables. But after, in the new beginning that God created for man, say in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 9, said, but you must not eat the meat that has life, water, still in it. And after that, before, man could only eat plants, but going forward, that also changed. But also, God made a simple exception that talks about the sanctity of the human life. Even though God gave man the commandment to be able to eat flesh and all that, but God still sanctified and exempted anything that had blood in it. Because He said, the scripture tells us, He said, life is in the blood. Even though man had dominion to eat whatever he wants going forward, but anything that had blood in it is exempted from being consumed by man. And there's a reason for that. Because God, Lord, is actually to be used for redemption. So anything that has blood in it should not be consumed. Verse 5 says, as for your life, Lord, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Verse 6 says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made all things. And the reason why God says people should not do that, to take anything that has blood in it, is because of the sanctity of the human life. Every human has blood flowing out of it. So God is going to account or ask us for every blood that we can shed. And God has the sanctity for everything that has blood in it. He preserves them. He cares about them. So when we as humans would take the life blood of another, God is going to hold everyone accountable for that. And He's going to ask us questions. The next slide. Every human, we bear the image of God. And God demands justice on how we treat and how we account for each and every one. I want to talk about a Christian evangelist named Judge Muller, who lived in England between 1805 and 1898. He treated every human being with extraordinary kindness and generosity, because he believed that every person created were all in the image of God. So whatever it is we do, it doesn't matter what that person is. It doesn't matter what that person might have done or how we perceive that individual. The scripture commands us to treat each and every person with dignity and humanity and And that is expected of us. Even though you might not agree with them, even though you might not like them, but we are required as believers to treat every human with dignity. Because that is the command from the Lord Almighty. So in 1875, there was a huge cholera outbreak in Bristol. Jerry Mueller cared particularly about the orphans. While the rich and every other person avoided people who were struck with cholera and those who were poor and sick, Mueller himself, he personally tended to the afflicted. He risked his own life and comfort, seeing them as image of God. And each and every individual, we need love. He wrote this in his journals. He said, every soul is precious, for God has made them in his likeness, and Christ died for them. His actions were not driven by obligation, but by heartfelt conviction that treating others as well is a reflection of God's character. How we treat each other, irrespective of who the person is a reflection of our character. And God is going to demand or account for every person how we treat each other. It doesn't matter what their social beliefs are. It doesn't matter which political party they belong to. The scripture mandates us to treat each and every person with dignity, with respect, and with love. That is what is required of us. And God is going to ask us, when we stand before Him, how we treat each other. I challenge each and every one of us, as we go back today, to ensure we treat people with respect, with honor, and with dignity. I know it's a difficult thing to do, especially in the world we live in today, where we've become what I call more selfish, self-interested, and self-focused. It is still a requirement on our part to ensure we treat each and every one with self-respect and dignity. Next slide, please. Reading from Genesis chapter 9, from verse 8 to 17, it says, Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the heart with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you, and never again will fall back be covered by the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you, and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the cloud, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the cloud, I will see and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures of every kind of earth. So God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life in the earth. God made a covenant with man even after the destruction. And what does a covenant entail? It entails the participants to a covenant. In the establishment of a covenant, there are different parties
We have the personnel called the enforcer of the company. And we have the parties that are impacted by the company. Go part of this law for humanity, establish the covenant to bind himself going forward. Because God knew that how man has constantly been corrupted by evil, and going forward, the tendency for man to continue to sin and doubt. Was because of his laws, he made the covenant not to destroy the earth again by flood, just as he did with Noah. He established the covenant this time around, not just himself and with man, but with every living creature. And also established a sign, a reminder, which is the rainbow that we see. And though today, the rainbow, when we see it around, means different things to different people. But first of all, before it's being used to interpret or mean different things, every time we see the rainbow, it is a covenant by God to man and to everything on the earth that it will not be destroyed by the waters of flood. Though judgment is still going to come, but it's not going to be by water. And God made that provision to ensure that every man is exempted from the coming judgment. That is why Jesus came to the earth. So that every man who believes in Jesus will be exempted from the forthcoming judgment. God is a God of love, but at the same time, he's a God of equity and fairness. So judgment still has to come. But there's an exemption, and the covenant he made that the current earth will not be destroyed by waters or flood again. But judgment will still come. And I use this example. In as much as you love someone, but at the same time, God loves each and every man, but we also expect fairness from God. Picture a situation where, because God loves you, he exempts you from some things, but we are whole different individuals. If God exempts me, if God exempts Andrew, if God exempts Alex, if God exempts Matt, where is fairness and equity if God does not exempt Esther? Where is fairness and equity if God does not exempt Mark? God is a God of justice, but at the same time, God is a God of deals in fairness. Everything has to be a balance. God's law, he loves every man, and his desire and his wish is not that anyone should perish. But at the same time, God is a God of fairness and equity. He says in John chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that anyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." For God's fairness and justice to prevail, there has to be a judgment of earth. But at the same time, God made a provision out of his law by having Jesus be the one that will bear the sin of the world. But the rest of the commandment of the promise lies on us to accept that gift that has been made available for each and every one of us. So this morning, I reach out, I call on each and every one of us that have yet to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior in our heart of heart to listen to him. Because he's waiting at the door. He's seeking. The scripture says that God's desire is not that any man should perish, but each and every person on earth should come to salvation that has been made available for us. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, it says Christ is the mediator of a better covenant. The covenant that was previously established by God and with Noah and all humanity was just a temporary one. But the covenant established in Christ is the better covenant and transcends the earlier established covenant. So this morning, I
and reach out and ask
that anyone that is yet to know or accept Christ as the Lord, as the Savior, Christ is knocking at the door, and He wants each and every one of us to come unto Him for salvation while the time is still near.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that despite the destruction of humanity, your love still transcends. You still love us even when we do fall short. So thank you for Jesus coming to earth and dying for our sins and redeeming us from every curse of the world. And thank you, Father, for better covenant that you've established with us. Thank you for your word today. And Father, as you've spoken, said in your prayers, we ask the Lord with every heart, receive and accept you as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we skip to a week, quickly, Heavenly Father, as we go over, to speak over each and every one of us gathered here today, our week is blessed, and we help by the Lord as we go over this week. Lord, let your help go and be with each and every one of us this week in the name of Jesus. Let the favor of the Lord abide with each and every one of us in our academics, in our careers, in our health, in all we do. Let the light of the Lord guide us. Father, teach us. Let the Spirit of the Lord counsel us where we need wisdom. Father, let your Spirit bless us. Lord, where we need guidance, let your Spirit guide us. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.